Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for joining us this evening. As you probably know, I've been under the weather a bit here the past 6 or 7 months, it feels like. Actually, it's only been about a week and a half. But today, I finally got around to watching the online movie Zeitgeist. And if you haven't seen it, you really should take some time over the weekend or whatever, and take a look. It runs an hour and 56 minutes, so it is rather lengthy, but it is in three separate and distinct parts, all of which are tied together in a philosophical sense, for sure. But if you have not gone to zeitgeistthemovie.com, zeitgeistthemovie.com, and taken a look, you really should. The first part seems totally disconnected from the other two parts. It is an explanation of the mythology behind the Christian religion. And the second part is about 9/11. And the third part is about the ultimate overarching goals and objectives of the elite ruling classes in not just this country, but globally. A lot of people will watch it and say, well, okay, some of it's a little tinfoil hat-ish. I don't feel that way at all. The producers of this movie present a certain perspective and point of view on certain issues, and you can agree or disagree with that particular perspective or point of view, but I strongly recommend that you take a look at this movie. It doesn't cost you anything. Zeitgeistthemovie.com, or Zeitgeistmovie, not the. There's no the in it. Zeitgeistmovie.com. It's fairly chilling, to say the least. I've had people email me and say my whole worldview has changed after watching this film. I can't say that my worldview has changed. It reinforces a lot of stuff. If you watch the film, you will have a lot of your current beliefs and values reinforced. If you are a normal human being struggling through what we're struggling through here, if you're a right-winger or a Republican, you'll just say, oh, this is nonsense, and turn it off, which is a shame. You ought to sit there and watch it because it does pertain to you, Mr. or Ms. Republican, Mr. or Ms. Conservative. It does pertain to you. It pertains to all of us. So that's your assignment, Truth Seekers, for the weekend, zeitgeistmovie.com. John Lash, is it pronounced Lash or Lash? Damn it. Now, when we had him on before, we went through this, back before the 2006 election.
Yes, but that was before you got the codeine cough syrup.
That's very true. Anyway, he is a Democrat from the Illinois 14th District, the one that is squatted on and has been for five or six terms by Hastert the Hutt. Lash is a candidate for Congress from that district again, and he will join us at the bottom of the hour to discuss his latest campaign. He's a military veteran. He served as an intelligence analyst in the Middle East. He's a good guy, and if you want some information, go to john08.com. john08.com. And peruse his website. I did see Bush and Cheney today, and Mike McConnell, the Director of National Intelligence. What a Nazi-looking guy Mike McConnell is. Oh, my God. But Bush was chastising the Democrats in Congress for not supporting his ongoing illegal wiretapping of American citizens. If you watch ZeitgeistMovie.com, if you go there and watch the movie, and then listen to this clip that I'm about to play for you, if you do it in that sequence, which obviously would be impossible, But that's what I did today. It makes this clip sound even more ominous. But you know, this little candy ass decider gets all pouty and throws a toddler style tantrum when his seemingly endless powers are checked, as the Constitution demands, by another branch of government. You know, when Congress actually executes its duties. Well, Monkey Boy is getting so upset he can't finish his lunchtime peanut butter and honey sandwich now. Couldn't even touch his potato chips. Listen to him.
We have an intelligence gap in the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. The act needs to be modernized.
Modernized.
The Director of National Intelligence, Mike McConnell, has provided the Congress with a narrow and targeted piece of legislation that will close the gaps in intelligence.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
He's working on the Hill.
Yeah.
And he's told members, this is what we need to do our job to protect the American people.
God.
It's the bare minimum.
Uh-huh.
The DNI said he needs to do his job.
Yeah, he does.
When Congress sends me their version, when Congress listens to all the data and facts and they send me a version of how to close those gaps, I'll ask one question. And I'm going to ask the DNI, does this legislation give you what you need to prevent an attack on the country? Is this what you need to do your job, Mr. DNI? That's the question I'm going to ask.
Mr. DNI?
And if the answer is yes, I'll sign the bill. And if the answer is no, I'm going to veto the bill.
Ooh.
And so far, the Democrats in Congress have not drafted a bill I could sign.
Bless them.
We've worked hard and in good faith.
You know, we threaten them.
With the Democrats to find a solution, but we are not going to put our national security at risk.
Again?
Time is short. I'm going to ask Congress to stay in session until they pass a bill that will give our intelligence community the tools they need to protect the United States.
From all those dangerous bloggers and scary journalists and foreign students and ACLU members and gays and Democratic candidates who are threatening America! That's who they're wiretapping. It's incredible. If you had a chance to see the clip today, to see this sweaty, pale man standing there with his puppet master over his right shoulder, Dick Cheney, and this absolutely freakish-looking McConnell, Mike McConnell, standing over his left shoulder, and the three of them standing there. And Bush mouthing these words, a narrow and targeted piece of legislation? What? Why do we doubt this? Oh, that's right. It's because of all the lies this man has told about the focus of the intelligence collections so many times. That's why. They don't care if it's legal. They want the piece of legislation as cover. Nothing has changed with these fascists. Nothing will change. But if the Democrats will do what the Democrats usually do, collapse into a puddle of warm urine and go, oh, please don't beat us again, Mr. President. Here's your piece of legislation. If the Democrats do that, then Bush will have the cover that he needs. Then he can go back to legally, in his twisted mind, spying on anyone he damn well pleases. He will continue to do it. His crime family, no matter what the legislation is. But this will protect him from impeachment and protect the telecommunications companies from being sued for revealing. That's part of the legislation he wants. Why would you need to have a part of the legislation protecting the telecommunications industry from lawsuits if it didn't involve American citizens? Oh, Christ! Oh, we're supposed to be so stupid, aren't we? We'll be back after the break.
Up against the wall. get him up against the wall.
The FISA law was written in 1978. We're having a discussion in 2006.
Thank you for calling AT&T, where it's always a pleasure to serve you. Now please listen closely as our menu options have changed since your last call. For English, press 1. Para Español, marque el número 2 y un agente del INS le asistirá pronto. For billing questions, press 1. To add new features to your account, press 2. For important new information about your privacy rights as an American citizen, press 3. For all other calls, I'm sorry, I did not recognize your response. If you're calling from your home telephone, press 1. Our records indicate that your billing address is
424 Azalea Avenue.
If this is correct, press 1. Thank you for your inquiry. Please choose from the following options to help us better direct your call. Main menu. If you did not vote in the last election, press 0. If you voted for George Bush in the last election, press 1. If you voted for another candidate, press 2. Thank you. Your call will now be routed to our Special Services Department for further assistance. Please hold on through the short series of beeps and someone will be with you shortly. Please do not hang up or change locations during this time as you will only lose your place in line. We appreciate your business and your patience. You may feel a slight vibration through your telephone during this brief connection process. Your selection indicates that you may not have voted for President Bush in the last election. If this is correct, press 1. If this is not correct, please hang up now and carefully unplug your telephone from the wall jack for a minimum of 5 minutes. If you're unsure how to do this, please press 99 and someone from our Inside Wiring Safety Department will assist you. Are you still there? Please press 1 to verify that you did not vote for the current president in the last election. Thank you for verifying your selection. Again, please do not hang up or make any unnecessary moves throughout your home, as this will only delay our ability to help you. Please hold for the next available special services operator to assist you. Thank you for your patience. As a valued customer, AT&T understands your concerns about the probable sharing of your telephone records with government entities who are trying to protect you from undue bodily harm perpetrated by evil terrorists. AT&T is committed to your safety and security, and we respect your privacy rights as defined by the President's interpretation of current law during a time of war. Because you are a concerned citizen and a valued AT&T client, you are eligible to receive a special loyalty gift free of charge. Now please continue to hold so an operator can assist you in receiving this important prize. There's no need to enter your mailing address or phone number as we have this information in our records. Please wait through the silence for further instructions. You will not incur any additional charges while you are on hold. We appreciate your patience. Your expected hold time at Gitmo is approximately
10 years.
AT&T, your private information delivered.
Don't you wish that was fantasy? So even as we speak, the democratically held Democratic Party held House of Representatives to turn on C-SPAN. They're screaming at each other in there. They have been given a deadline to expand Bush's power to eavesdrop. A deadline. Bush says, update that ancient 1978 surveillance law before you go off for your summer break. Me, I'm heading out. But do it. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to veto any bill that doesn't have every little thing I'm asking for. You know, it's incredible. He says, we've worked hard and in good faith with the Democrats to find a solution, but we're not going to put our national security at risk. The moment this little piglet knew he was going to go into the Oval Office, which was when his cousin called the election on Fox News back in November of 2000, the moment he knew, and the world knew, that's when this country's security was put at risk. And because the people out there who don't care for us understand how this conspiracy works, all they had to do was sit back and watch what the Bush crime family could do. They even gave it a name. 9/11.
Didn't connect the dots. How come the dots weren't connected? Well, the Patriot Act helps us connect the dots. It is inexcusable to say, on the one hand, connect the dots and not give us the chance to do so. We've connected the dots, or trying to connect the dots.
It's about 25 before the hour. It seems like almost a lifetime ago. It wasn't that long ago we had John Lash on this program. It was back before the 2006 election. John was running against Dennis Hastert in the 14th district, House district in Illinois, and almost pulled off the impossible, but he's going to try again in 2008, and he joins us now from, I would imagine, from Illinois. Is that right, John?
That's right. How's it going, Mike?
Hey, I'm trying to recover from a cold, John, and I've had to spend a couple of days in bed, which is dangerous because I wind up watching C-SPAN.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. and I watch the what's going on in D.C. Good God, what an incredible rat's nest we have gotten into in this country as a result of 7 years of Bush and a Republican Congress going back to 94. How do we get out of this, John?
Well, I got a couple of things. First, my good friend Joe Stupak told me to recover quickly. He misses you when you're not on the air.
Well,
he's a big fan of yours.
Tell him I said so, thank you very much.
And we hope we're recovering. But, well, I don't know, Mike, I'm sure you're watching what's happened since we even took the majority, and I think it proves that not only do we need a majority, we need a progressive majority.
Mm.
I pitched my hat back in the ring when I saw how we voted on the Iraq war funding bill. We're going to get a second round at that in September, and I hope the Democrats put up a little bit bigger fight this time around. But you're not kidding. The world's definitely turned upside down since Bush has been in office, and we got a lot of work to do when we kick him out in 2009.
This is astonishing stuff, John. I know you're a veteran. I know you've served as an intelligence analyst in the Middle East. Most of us who backed you the last go around are familiar with your background. But what has happened now with the Attorney General's office just going right down the sewer? The Defense Department turning into a lie factory, the office of the Vice President being headed by a man who, if he were in the private sector, would probably be under indictment for fraudulent activity. What, you know, you said it a second ago, a progressive Democratic majority is what's needed. So other than you and a few other people, how do we get that? I have to tell you, John, I am disappointed down to my socks in what Speaker Pelosi has been doing. Maybe she has a strategy that I don't get. And if that's the case, more power to her. But when I read in the New York Times yesterday that under pressure from Bush, Democratic leaders in Congress, here's what it says, are scrambling to pass legislation to expand the government's electronic wiretapping powers. When I read something like that, I just go nuts.
Yeah, it's scary. Look, what our country needs is some real leadership. That's all it comes down to. Someone who's willing to stand up, call them for what their the lies, as you mentioned. I can tell you that the people of this country are fed up. They've had enough. I'm here at Yearly Coast in Chicago, as a matter of fact, right now, and I proudly wear the Impeach Bush ribbon put forward by World Can't Wait on my left arm. And I'll tell you, I think that America is ready for new leadership. But, you know, even when it comes to holding these guys accountable and holding Bush accountable for the next year and a half or whatever we have left, I think we have to – the best thing the Democratic Party can do is just get out there and say what we stand for, that we're going to return honesty and ethics back to the White House and Congress, that we're going to pass a single-payer national health care bill, we're going to put the country's economy back in check with a WPA-style rebuilding program. So we
boy, do we need that all of a sudden. Not all of a sudden, but all of a sudden it's getting some publicity after six or seven people get crushed to death in this bridge collapse. And after after New Orleans, and after one person dies because an underground steam pipe blows up in New York. I read the other day, John, that what we're talking about here in repairing the country's infrastructure, we're talking about at least 500,000 jobs, an expenditure of tax dollars not to kill people and blow things up in the Middle East, but to take care of the so-called deferred maintenance back in this country. It would be a jobs program that wouldn't be make work. It's work that's absolutely necessary.
Absolutely. Yep. And instead of handing it off to Bush's buddies in Halliburton, like they did down in New Orleans, we can put people back to work with good-paying, honest government jobs, union jobs, that pay a prevailing wage, instead of hiring people that are working less than that to clean up New Orleans. I don't know what they're going to do with this bridge and some of the other catastrophes that you've mentioned, but that's what I'm about, and I think, you know, America just needs a new deal is what we need, something that says that we're going to put the country back to work. We've got to do something with our trade policies and go back to fair trade, help lift other countries up instead of lowering our standards to third world status.
You know,
it's a big task ahead of us in Washington, but I'm excited about the opportunity to win this race and go to Washington and do that.
Underlying all of this, John, in my opinion, and the opinion of a lot of people who listen to this program, is the destruction that's been done and is continuing to be done to the basic tenets of the U.S. Constitution, not just the Ten Amendments, but obscure sections of the Constitution that Bush and Cheney are dragging out and interpreting as meaning something just absolutely reverse of what the founders, I think, meant when they wrote the words down. How do you, as a Democratic member of Congress, how do you stop this?
Well, first let me just tell you what our campaign theme, we've changed things a little bit. I mean, if you go to our website, john08.com, you'll see the same color of purple last week. But in about a week or so, we're going to put our new color theme up, and we've got an actual picture of the Constitution that says, "We the People." I think change starts within every congressional district, that the people have to hold their elected officials responsible, and that that's the way to go back to the Constitution. It's how we campaign. Are we going to be is the Democratic Party going to sell out to the corporate America and be the same as the Republicans? Or are we going to go back to listening to the concerns that people have, run a grassroots door-to-door campaign? And I'm of the firm belief that when we take politics back to the district, we the people have the power to change things. We've done it before. Look at the civil rights movement, Vietnam, the Great Depression. We've come out of dark eras before. This is our moment in history to stand up and do the same.
Let me ask you what Tony Snow and some of these other press secretaries refer to as a hypothetical. If you were a member of Congress right now, John, what would you do, having been handed an ultimatum in the past 24 hours by Bush, not to go on vacation until you rewrote the FISA law to satisfy him and Mike McConnell? How would the Director of National Intelligence, how would you respond right now if you can put yourself in that position as a member of Congress?
Well, I would write Bush a ticket for a permanent vacation. I openly back not only further investigation into the allegations that took us into Iraq, but impeachment itself. I think we need to start talking about that at the very least censure the president. As far as him saying when Congress can do and what they have to do, that's what I'm saying. We need more leaders who have a backbone who are going to stand up. And putting Bush on a permanent vacation before 2009 would be good for America. There's no question about it. I don't know if I'm too radical left for you there, Mike. But.
No. I honestly believe that the foundations of this country, the legal foundations upon which they tried to build this country 200 and some years ago, granted there were flaws back then, only white male landowners could vote and so on and so on, but I think they handed off a document that if it were allowed to breathe and grow, could evolve into something that would provide the liberty and the kind of life that people really want. And all I see the Bush administration doing is corrupting that. And I can't, other than the idea of absolute power, John, I can't understand. I really cannot. Maybe because I'm not that educated. I can't understand why this Bush administration is doing these things that they have been doing for 6 years. Now, maybe I don't need to understand it. Maybe I just need to work to get them the hell out of D.C. But do you have any idea why this is going on, why it has developed like this?
Well, I just think it's because Congress has not held the president in check. As you have pointed out, we have three branches of government, a system of checks and balances. And, you know, I ran against Dennis Hastert, and Dennis Hastert let Bush get away with whatever he wanted to. I mean, he was the Speaker of the House, and now that the Democrats are seems to be cowering a little bit, again, I mean, I can't say it enough. It just underscores why we need a progressive majority that has a background that's going to stand up for our Constitution, our rights. I mean, as we let our rights go, it gets worse and worse. Now, I grew up in West Africa. I've witnessed a military coup. I lived in the Middle East for 3 years. I've seen what it's like to live in a country that does not have a separation of church and state. And, you know, we have to make sure that we protect those things at all costs.
John, can you hold on and let me do this commercial break and come back for about 5 minutes?
Let me see if I can do that. Yeah.
Okay, I'll put you on hold now. If you're not there when we come back, I'll understand. We're talking with John Lash, who is running for Congress in the 14th in Illinois. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Humans can coexist peacefully. It's more of Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. We're talking with John Lash, who is once again running for Congress as a progressive Democrat from the 14th District in Illinois. Dennis Hastert's, where Dennis Hastert has been squatting for all these years. If you want information on John Lash, go to john08.com. Check him out, and no matter where you live, when you go there, for God's sake, write the man a check, get some money into this campaign. We are not so naive, folks, as to think that because John Lash is a decent human being, that the Congress fairy is going to smile on him and make him the next congressman from the 14th. You have to do this. You have to do it. So go to john08.com and contribute. If you live in his district, give more than money. Give your time. But if you live, you folks listening around the country, You can help immensely, and you don't have to be there. Anything, $10, $50, $1,000, just do it. Now, John, you're at the Daily Coast Convention. Had I not gotten this damn cold, I probably would have been there. How is that going vis-a-vis your campaign?
Well, it's fantastic. Tonight's my first night. We've had some campaign volunteers up here manning a table. Both Jared and Kristen Lash have been great volunteers throughout the 06 campaign in 08. And we got a very nice response when I walked in tonight. So everybody's excited that we're running. And, you know, thanks for the plug and encouraging people to go to the website. You know, through your radio show and through, you know, things like Daily Coast, in the last campaign, over 6,000 people helped us raise $300,000.
Oh, that's
so
great.
You know, those $5 and $10, $25 contributions,
sure,
go a long way.
Sure.
And you know, my fundraiser has a saying. She always says that if we the people want government, then we the people are going to have to pay for it. And, you know, even if you live in a district that's not Illinois, still consider to support your congressional candidate there as well.
Mm-hmm.
They need the help.
John, correct me here if I'm wrong, and I feel like a real idiot for saying this. Is Hastert retiring?
He is. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit about the race.
Yeah, please.
Well, I will tell you that a poll was taken in April, assuming that Hastert retires, and just no name, not knowing who the Democrat is, not knowing who the Republican is. The Democrats already have a 40-30 leg up.
Mm.
On a Republican Party, so that's good news. Obviously, we built a significant amount of name recognition in 2006 and a campaign structure of active, hardworking people that want to change America. But, it looks like this guy, Kevin Burns, is the mayor of Geneva, is probably going to be the Hastert pick.
Mm-hmm.
There's another Republican running by the name of Jim Oberweis. He's tried running statewide twice. He's an admitted racist.
Mm.
And then State Senator Chris Lauzon is probably about as far right as you can get down in Springfield. He's a state senator.
Now, that's on the Republican side. Do you have any primary opposition at this point?
At this point, well, first of all, we won't know who gets on the ballot, but there are several other gentlemen who do plan on running.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have a fight between a blue dog and a progressive.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, if it comes down to that, I just hope that on the Democratic side, I hope that the Democratic voters in the 14th, and then ultimately all the voters in the 14th, but in the primary season, I hope the Democratic voters understand the difference now between the so-called blue dog Democrat and a progressive Democrat. Do you think the level of education based on political education, based on what you've done on your campaign and what the American public has seen, has that taken hold in the 14th?
Absolutely. We're just at a fundraiser with all three of the candidates were there, and you know, one's a corporate lawyer and the other one's a multimillionaire who, you know, is part owner of a non-union shop. So he made his money off somebody else. And we got,
and these are the Democrats.
The Democrats, right.
Oh,
we spoke to the heart of the party. They put them to sleep and we woke everybody up for the last 10 minutes. It's online. It's on, we blogged about it at Daily Coast. So, and I think it's on our website at John08, but yeah, people respond to it. We talked that, you know, we just can't afford the Bush administration. We can't afford to be Republican light.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stand up for, you know, everything that we talked about in the first part of this conversation about,
mm-hmm,
about protecting democracy itself for future generations in this country.
Well, you know, we talked before about 2006 being a critical election, and some of the people, D's after their name, made it through enough anyway to at least put the brakes on this move to corporatism that the Bush administration has been pushing for 7 years. But now it's time, I really believe this, it's time that the Republicans have proved they cannot govern. They just simply can't. So it's time to have progressive Democrats in charge and conservative Democrats as the opposition party, if that's what it has to get down to. But the Republicans have got to have the power of governing taken away from them. And, John, I hope you're one of the people that's going to do it. Listen, again, thanks for coming on the program, and let's talk periodically as we get closer to next year's election, okay?
Mike, thanks so much. Thanks to all of your audience for all your support. You got some real fans out there.
Yeah, well,
they're very supportive of our campaign.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I know everybody that listened back in 06 who would send me emails after you were on were just very supportive and very taken with the reality of what you were talking about. So let's make it happen this time, okay?
All right, Mike. Recover. Take care of yourself.
Thank you. All right, John.
All right.
Have a nice weekend. Take care. Go to his website. You know this guy from the last campaign. I know you know him. John Lash, L-A-E-S, what is it? L-A-E-S-C-H, L-A-E-S-C-H. But just go to john08.com and support him, just like you did last time. I know, I'm always asking for something, right? But this is really, really important. All right, we're taking a break. We'll come back. Do we have a flying monkey on the phone here? All right, we'll come back and talk with the monkey and everybody else who's on hold. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. This is the Malloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. Wherever you're listening tonight, thank you very much. We appreciate it. By the way, this vacation Kathy and I and the kid were supposed to take next week, we're not going to take it until Wednesday. So we will be here Monday and Tuesday night. Then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Peter Werby will substitute for me. And next Monday, we will take off too. Sam Cedar will sit in again. So that's the schedule. Let's go to your phone calls very quickly here before we go back to some of these topics. Mark is calling from Missouri, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah, I was just calling. You know, I listen to both the left and the right radio here on the Sirius. I agree with points and disagree with points on both sides. And I just, the stuff the guy on there, what John was saying, everything. The only thing I really disagreed with is not everybody wants this national health care.
Well, not everybody has to take it, Mark.
Wait
a second.
Yes, sir.
If we have public education in this country, if you don't want your child to partake of public education, you don't have to. You can spend the money and send him or her to private school or parochial school, or you can even homeschool. If people in this country don't want the post office delivering your mail, you don't have to have that happen. You can tell your friends to send you everything via FedEx or UPS. It'll cost you more, but that's the American way. If we have single-payer health care in this country, Mark, and you don't want to participate, then don't.
Okay, but can you also opt out of the tax increase for it?
What tax increase? Who said anything about a tax increase? I'm trying to do the impossible here. I'm trying to have a logical, rational, A, B, C, D, E conversation with a right winger. Who said there's going to be a tax increase?
That was just my understanding of it.
All right, where did you get that? Can you? What about taxes for public education? What about taxes for the police department? What about taxes for the fire department? What are you talking about?
Okay, from my understanding of what I have heard,
From whom?
In order to fund this national health care, they're going to have to increase taxes considerably.
No, no, Mark, listen carefully. In order to fund national health care for the next century, all we have to do is stop spending $12 billion a month in Iraq, A. B, if you still want to go have a war, stop giving corporate tax breaks to all the corporations. Or if you want to continue giving corporate tax breaks, get the private sector out of healthcare. Why should somebody make a profit, Mark, when your appendix ruptures?
That's just the nature of their business. I'm
no,
not
well, it may be the nature of their business. The nature of a scorpion is to kill you. So you don't go lay down with scorpions, do you?
No.
Okay. Okay. Oh my God, we're making some progress, Mark.
Okay,
if you if you want to have
you
if you want Mark, it's not polite to interrupt. If you want to have these bogus, phony health care savings accounts that Bush keeps talking about, go do one. But let me ask you something, Mark. Do you have? Can you put enough money aside to cover a heart bypass operation you may need in 20 years?
I have private insurance I pay for myself.
Okay, keep it. Are you happy with it?
Yes.
What happened?
What happens? I know me and my family are protected.
What happens, Mark? Have you really looked at your policy? What happens when they decide to drop you?
I'll find it somewhere else.
No, you won't. Once you've been dropped by a health insurance company, then you become redlined. You are blacklisted. All of a sudden, Mark has problems. We don't want him.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Mark, if you want to continue with what you're doing, continue. But if I want single-payer health care, why would you deny me the... Let me ask you something. Are you going to take your Medicare when you retire?
Medicare will probably not be there by the time I retire.
Who told you that now? God! Where do you get this? That's right.
You said you want to listen to all the sides. So you listen to the liars on the right side. You listen to the liars on right-wing talk radio, whether it's Hannity or whoever it is. Let's assume then that Medicare is there. Will you say, no, I don't want that?
No, I would take it.
You would take it?
There.
Oh, my yes. God. What are you, a communist? Let me ask you something, Mark. Are your parents living?
Yes, they are.
Do they have Medicare or Social Security?
No, sir, they do not.
Why is that? They're not old enough.
Oh, no. My mother and my father are both old enough. My father is still working, and my mother has been denied on it.
Denied sir. Medicare?
Yes.
They How?
She needs to go back to work.
Is she over 65?
She is. Actually, she's 64. But
well,
she
then, Mark, she doesn't qualify yet. Oh, my God. All right, Mark, listen, I've had enough. I've had a lot of conversation with you. Now you're making me crazy. So thanks for checking in, and we'll talk 10 years from now. His mom she's been denied Medicare because she's, doesn't qualify for it. Oh, God.
I still don't understand the mindset where it's okay to pay taxes to have a police force or to have a fire department or to have a post office.
Or to have a library.
Or to have a library.
Or to have education.
Or to have a kindergarten.
Or to have a state university.
But you can't pay taxes to have health insurance.
Well, no, because then the communists will come and Hillary will come and eat you and they'll take your babies and
Kaiser won't make $1 billion a year profits.
Oh, my God. I can't... I can't handle that. I can't stand people like Mark. You know, all I want to do is just push their faces in their own ignorance. I'm not here to educate people. If you've been listening to this program long enough, you know that. I don't give a tinker's damn, frankly, what people like Mark think. There's no way to reach them. You know, there's no way. I listen to Tom Hartman try sometimes to spin these morons, and I certainly appreciate Tom Hartman's efforts in doing that. I think he has a lot of courage. He has a lot of presence. But I don't, you know, I just can't do it. I because I don't care about these people. I literally don't care about them. I wish they would just all stop voting or go into a cave or go pray or do whatever right-wingers do and just leave normal people alone. But I don't like to try to explain something that's like saying, look, let me explain this to you. 1 + 1 = 2. And then have a moron challenge me on it. I can't do it.
Well, it's not 100% their fault. The problem is you've had this right-wing media dispense such lies as to make the public think that, oh, no, if you have universal health care, then you can't go see your private doctor anymore, or you can't have private insurance anymore.
Well,
nothing has to change for the Marks of the world.
Kathy, you are much more charitable than I.
But this is how the Bush administration, with the complicit media, has made it possible for those kind of lies to get perpetrated. That's how people become that dumbed down, because they believe that it's an either or.
Look, I live in the same country as Mark. I live in the same country as the Ditto Heads. I have access to the same information and misinformation that the Ditto Heads have.
There's just a lot more of the other.
Well, Kathy, I don't care. I really don't care. Toxic, malignant, willful ignorance to me is carried about or carried within people who deserve the results of that toxic, malignant, willful ignorance. I have no sympathy for them. I have no desire to educate them. I don't like to have them on the program because they remind me once again of just that vast chasm of ignorance that exists out there, and I can't, I don't want to deal with it. I just want it to go away. I go away from this program. That's all. We'll be back after the break.
Nobody home. You take off your gloves and shoes. There's nobody home. The sign says there's no vacancy. As you stare at me vacantly, the lights are out, but I can't see. There's nobody home. Oh, no, there's nobody home. Smile, but when you talk, there's nobody home. I love it when you speak your mind. Nobody home. It's nice to have some quiet time. There's nobody home. The sign says there's no vacancy, but everything you say to me convinces me most certainly there's nobody.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
I need this hopeless feeling, like I need a hole in my head. Give up my whole day's wages to get this hole in the wall.
21 past the hour. John Neem sent me an email here, the musician and piano tuner from Las Vegas, about that caller, Mark. And John points out that, apparently Mark's mother doesn't qualify for, well, obviously she doesn't qualify, she's not old enough for Medicare. Mark doesn't want national health care for his own mother. Now, I don't know what he said. He had health care. Well, you know, good for Mark. But it sounds like his mom at age 64 or his dad or whatever, they have to keep working. One could make the guess. I don't know if this is true, and I don't want Mark calling back in to explain it to me. But you could guess that his mother or his father or both are still working because that's the only way they can get health care. It's astonishing to me the way people like Mark would deny the reality that stares them in the face, that national health care, single-payer health care, on the Canadian or the French or the British or the Swiss or the Scandinavian model, I pick a country, every industrialized nation on earth except the United States has it, and yet the bias against it in this country, it is illogical. It just doesn't compute for me. How can people say, no, I don't want health care?
I don't want to be able to go to a doctor and get premium care and not pay for it directly. I don't want to go to a hospital and have an emergency operation and not be billed for it. I don't want that. My God, how did we become this stupid? And then people want me to show patience with callers like that? I can't do it. These are people who are dedicated to stopping something that can only benefit them and their family members. That's all it can do. It can do nothing bad, nothing negative. It's all positive. But because somebody stepped on their foot and the top of their head popped open and the right wingers poured in all of this garbage, they call my program and don't even know how old you have to be to qualify for Medicare, for God's sake.
I don't know how many more fundraisers I can go to for people that I know who need an operation. Or how many more bake sales I can read about for children who need a liver.
Yeah.
Or how many more, you know, 5K runs for charity for someone to have a tumor removed. We're living in the richest country in the world, and people that I know personally, that you know, Mike. I mean, a performing artist friend of ours who needed to have breast cancer removed. Had to have a fundraiser for. Have to have four fundraisers. Children who are sick, who need operations.
I know. And
friends
then,
of ours who need liver transplants.
I know. And then I get an email like this. The guy signed his whole name, so I guess he wants me to use it. Robert Muzinski. On top of all that, I get an email like this. Subject line says, "Your rudeness." An email says, "As a fellow human being, I would like to remind you that when people call into your program, they may not be as intelligent as you, but many of them are sincerely trying to straighten out their thoughts. It seems the fellow from Missouri was teetering on the fence, and you pushed him back over to the right side. Sometimes you have no common sense. Are these the manners you are teaching Molly? Stop being a jerk. You are an embarrassment to the progressive movement. It's all about you. Now, I've been listening to you since the beginning of this year on KQKE, but the way you upset me just before bedtime makes me wish they had someone else in the evening." Robert Muzinski. Robert, I don't know what to tell you. You obviously are not a progressive. You're not a Democrat. If you think I should show manners, manners? What the hell are you talking about? Do you want me to show manners to George W. Bush? Do you want me to show it to the people who have taken an American like Mark and so corrupted his thinking? And then I'm supposed to show manners to Mark, who is willfully ignorant, like you are, Robert? Look, ignorance and stupidity, ignorance is curable, stupidity is terminal, but willful ignorance is almost a sin. How can people be willfully ignorant where it concerns those instruments of government that will best serve their lives? And you get upset because I am rude to people like that? Oh, God.
Had an idea. He didn't like the way the cotton shirts that he wore absorbed, his bodily fluids when he exercised, so he came up with a better product.
Huh.
It's about 25 before the hour. A couple of quick emails here. This is from Malachi in the Great North. He writes regarding health care. 15 years ago, my mother was unemployed and got breast cancer. She got it treated for free, and she's still with us today. I don't understand what's wrong with everyone paying into a pool of funds and get free health care when they need it. As a Canadian, the U.S. health care system puzzles me. If anything, as well, the cost of health care will go down in the U.S. Canada and the rest of the industrialized world pays less per capita than the U.S. for medical care and has better health care outcomes and has universal coverage. I don't understand why Americans keep thumping their chests and saying that they have the best health care in the world.
Well, that's the scary part. That's the amazing thing to me, is to see what an effective hatchet job that the current administration has done on the American people to make people believe that actually not having health care is a good thing. I mean, a large segment of the American population actually believes they're better off without universal health care.
Yeah. Yeah. How is it possible to convince a minority, but a very vocal minority in this country, that single-payer health care is a bad thing? How in the hell do you do that? You know, would these people also say, well, look, I don't want the police. Next time I have a complaint for the police, I'll call the PTA because, I have to pay taxes for the police. Well, actually, there are people who believe that, like George Bush, who one of the first things he did when he came into office was to decimate the COPS program. That over 8 years of the Clinton administration reduced crime across the entire country in every category of crime, and now it's going back up. So there are people like that. But people who are not in a position of political power, like Bush is, people like Mark, people like the maybe 25% of Americans who don't want single-payer health care, how do you get to that point where your mind has been so stomped on by right-wing Republican crap that you are willing to go on a national radio program and display your ignorance? How does that happen? Mark in Fort Worth writes, Mike, Michael Moore pointed out in his book, Dude, Where's My Country? 80% of Americans believe that health insurance should be provided equally to everyone in the U.S. We don't have national health care in America because our political system is corrupt and broken. It's not because Americans don't want national health care. To me, this is even more troubling than the fact we don't have national health care. Well, you kind of lost me there, Mark, but there is a very vocal minority, the ditto heads, the Hannity freaks, who, and this is what just slays me. The Republicans in Congress who pay about $30 a month for the best health care on the planet. You know, why not make that available to all Americans? If it's good enough for members of Congress, right? But there are Republicans in Congress who will do anything they can to stop single-payer health care from becoming a reality in this country. And then you have people, just huge, enormous, gluttonous pigs like Hannity and Limbaugh and Bortz and the rest of these right-wing monsters who... So, I don't know. Do they get a perverse thrill out of knowing that there are 11 million uninsured children in this country, 40 million uninsured adults, while they have the best insurance that their million-dollar paychecks can buy? What is up with that? How does someone get to that level of greed and self-absorption as a Limbaugh or a Bortz or a Hannity, where they can sit back on their well-padded asses and just say, well, you know, if you have 11 million children without health care, too bad. Jesus God! How do you become that corrupt? I guess that's my question. How you become that corrupt, where you can devote X amount of time of your radio career convincing the proles that single-payer health care is not in their best interest. How do you face yourself in the mirror at night? Jesus Christ, I don't get that.
I don't get it. I need to stop for a second because I'm running out of oxygen. Our good friend Brad Friedman is on the hotline here from bradblog.com. Brad, what brings you to the program?
Oh, Mike, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine.
I am sitting here listening to you out in Plano, Texas, just minutes from the Diebold factory down here, actually. We're all on pins and needles, listening to you on actually KQKE, The Quake in San Francisco, because they have announced that they're actually going to break into regular programming when California Secretary of State Deborah Bowen makes her announcement about what she's going to do with the entire state's voting systems. She may well decertify every voting system in the state of California now that she's done this extraordinary top-to-bottom review of voting systems.
That's incredible. So you're scooping the Quake.
That's right.
You're also scooping all of our California affiliates. I hope they appreciate your efforts here.
Well, listen, I hope that all the California affiliates carry this because it's huge. Frankly, she found her report came out last Friday. You may
right.
have heard.
Yes.
They found that every single voting system they tested, this is the first time they were ever hack tested, they found that every single voting system they tested, they could violate both the physical and software security in minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking Diebold, ESNS, Sequoia, every single one of them. And now she's got until midnight tonight to determine what she's going to do with these voting systems. And nobody knows really what she's going to do. But I can tell you, you got a lot of listeners tonight who are sitting around listening to The Quake or whoever in California waiting to find out what Bowen's going to do because she's going to have her press conference anytime. We don't know. We're waiting, and I can't get word out of the Secretary of State's office when it's actually going to happen, but it's going to have consequences across the entire country.
Well, if it's got to happen before midnight California time, it's just before 8 o'clock California time, so she doesn't have a whole lot of time left. Decertifying every single voting system, that would mean every single voting machine in the state of California, is incredibly good news, because then how can other states using these systems say, well, that's all right, we're going to continue?
Well, that's right. I mean, everyone looks to California. In fact, Diebold calls California, doesn't call it California, calls it the world's largest voting market. That's how they see it. So everyone's looking to California to see what she's going to do here. Now, she doesn't have to decertify them. She can do nothing, which I doubt she'll do. She can conditionally recertify them, you know, that they can be used, but under extraordinary new security procedures for a while. We really don't know. They're being tight-lipped, but it is going to have an earthquake effect, you're right, on every other state because, you know, they all use these same systems all
right,
across
right.
the country.
Right. So I can just see the Secretary of State of, pick a red state, saying, well, okay, so they can be hacked, so they can be tampered with. So what?
Well,
right? We're going to keep using them.
Well, that's what they're already saying. They're saying, oh, Bowen's study wasn't a realistic study because her hackers had access to the machines, and, you know, no voter would have that. Well, here's the news. No voter has that kind of access, but elections officials have that access. Voting machine company employees have that access.
Right.
Poll workers have that access when they take these stupid machines home for sleepovers for weeks prior to the election. And it's child's play to hack into these systems. So they know that they're being disingenuous. And frankly, the election officials need to start suing these voting machine companies because they have been defrauded, and we need to get our damn money back for these crappy machines, period.
What about, you know, they were just certified here in Georgia, Diebold machines. Our Secretary of State said we're going to go ahead and use them. What is to stop when the California Secretary of State makes this announcement later on tonight? What is to stop a common person like me from filing a lawsuit against my Secretary of State demanding that a system that cannot be tampered with be put in place in Georgia? What's to stop that?
You can sue about anything. Now, whether you'll find a law or a judge that would allow this kind of a lawsuit, I don't know, and it's certainly different from state to state. And, you know, well, of course, I saw you in Atlanta a few weeks back.
Well, no, wait. Yeah, I know you did, Brad, but this comes under the Voting Rights Act. This is not a state law. I mean, I would sue in a federal court, sue the Secretary of State of, say, Georgia, for using a voting machine in an election. And this is especially true here in the South. We're still under mandates put in place during the civil rights era because white people here in the South just consistently yep. denied black people the right to vote. So
well,
this would
right.
be in federal court.
Well, if you can find, I mean, I can tell you one legal hook that you can definitely
Hold on, Brad. I got a break. I'll come back to you, and then
okay.
I want to hear what your hook is. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, we are talking with Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, who has been in the forefront of trying to clean up the corrupting influence of voting machines on our electoral system here. And Brad called in from Texas. He's touring. He was here in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago. He has called in from Texas. We still have him on the line about this decision by Secretary of State in California, Deborah Bowen, to decertify. Well, it hasn't been decided yet. But now tell us again what your source is, Brad, that this decertification of all the voting systems in California is coming.
Well, no, to be clear, her announcement is coming. What she is going to do, she can either decertify every voting machine or she can decertify some of them, recertify others under certain special security procedures. But this is based on her top-to-bottom review. She came into office promising this top-to-bottom review, first time it's ever been done, of these mm-hmm. voting systems, and they did hack tests that have never been done before, and they found that every single one of them was hackable, was insecure,
right.
unsecure, and so we've been waiting since 5 p.m., thought she was going to make her announcement at that point, and now not sure what the delay is here, but a lot of folks are eagerly waiting to hear what she is going to do. She could knock out every touchscreen voting machine in the state. We will have to find out.
What are the chances that Ms. Bowen will do nothing?
I think the chances of her doing nothing are pretty much nil. She is definitely going to do something, but you got to understand she's got the elections officials up. I mean, they are up in arms. They obviously want to do nothing because
right.
they have. So many of them have bought into the voting machine company nonsense for so long. But we also have elections coming up in 6 months. They moved the primary from September up till February out there in California. And so the elections officials are concerned we're not going to have any voting systems to use.
Well, you know, when we talked about this report coming in a couple of weeks ago, whenever it was,
yeah.
that was the more or less the point that I made in the limited discussion I had about it with, just my pointing it out, that
yeah.
the election officials have said there's no time to change anything. And my suggestion was, how much time does it take to hand everybody a piece of paper? I mean, go print paper ballots. How long does that take, a week?
You're exactly right. And one of the things that they'll say is, well, we need these systems for disabled and blind voters. And that's the line they've been using for years. But part of this study, she did a disabilities, an accessibility study on these machines. And guess what? Not a single one of them meet the ADA requirements. So while
yeah.
they've been running around telling us we need to use these systems because the disabled and the blind voters and so forth, these damn machines don't even meet the minimum criteria for that. This whole thing has been a lie, Mike, from top to bottom.
It has indeed. And as far as blind voters are concerned, in my precinct, which is at a Baptist church over here, not far from my house, I would be more than happy to sit there on voting day. And anyone who comes in who is visually impaired, I'll be more than happy to help them. That's A. B, how long does it take to print a Braille ballot? Now, as far as anyone who is physically handicapped, I'll stand at the door and help them get through. These are lies, nonsense, obfuscations, and deliberate deceits where it concerns people being able to vote.
Well, the point is they're trying to say that blind and disabled folks should be able to vote privately and independently, and on that
how did handicapped and blind people do it 25 years ago?
Well, that's
50
exactly,
years ago.
They weren't able to, and that's the point.
I cannot believe that blind people or handicapped people didn't vote 30 years ago.
They voted, but they had to get assistance. So they either did it absentee and someone in their family would help them, or
I'll
they
help.
Would go to the They don't want you to help, Mike. That's
I know. I understand that. I understand that. But I don't want to get into a spitting contest with folks who may be physically challenged in one way or another. But I think these folks understand they're being used.
Well, that's the thing. They do understand that, the folks that I talk to, and yet some of the big disabilities groups in the country, National Federation for the Blind, People with Disabilities, they've received money from the voting machine companies. National Federation for the Blind received $1 million from Diebold. So what do you know? They're in favor of Diebold vote touchscreen voting machine.
Oh,
same
God.
Thing is true for People for the American Way. They have been putting up, they haven't taken money from the voting machine companies, but they're using these blind and disabled people because they want these touchscreen voting machines. And it's insane. And the damn machines don't even meet the Help America Vote Act requirements in the first place for disabled voters. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. This, you know, it is just an absolute scam, and somebody needs to start filing some lawsuits and getting some money back. Hell, blind and disabled groups ought to be filing lawsuits because, you know, they found with a tape measure that these voting systems didn't meet the minimum requirements, you know, that there was supposed to be 30 inches for a wheelchair, and there isn't. Now, why the hell didn't the feds and the states find this out before and make changes instead of giving us this line of crap that we need to, you know, switch everybody's vote to these touchscreen systems for these
well,
disabled voters?
Why weren't they honest with us about weapons of mass destruction? I mean, you know the
I'm
answer
starting
to that.
To think they're misleading us, Mike.
I'm starting to think that too, Brad. Oh my goodness, one can't trust one's own government any longer? Oh, horrors! All right, Brad, listen, we've got about 3 hours before this is supposed to happen. Whatever her announcement is, we will listen. Thanks for the heads up, and take it easy in your travels. When do you plan on being back in L.A., by the
way?
Oh,
man, I'll eventually be back.
You've been on the road for what, six weeks now?
Yeah, something like that. I don't want to go home.
Oh, you do? All right, well, all right. Brad, take it easy, drive safe, and thanks for checking in.
All right, we'll stay up at bradblog.com with whatever news comes in as late as we have to stay up.
All right, well, people will go there, I'm sure. Thanks, Brad.
Thanks, brother. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Bradblog.com, you know who he is, Brad Friedman, you know what his website is. Check it out, if not tonight, tomorrow morning. Let's see what happens with the Secretary of State in California. Stay with us. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We've got some more kind of breaking news here, but first, this email comes from Jim. The subject line says, healthcare-murder. The email says, I'm 57 years old. I have no health care. I got new glasses through the Lions Club. I could not see either at distance or to read. I was unable to drive at night. Thanks to the Lions Club, I can resume seeing and driving. I had dental problems. The county had a clinic whereby I could pay $40 cash per visit. They fixed almost everything I needed, but I still need a root canal. I'm in pain from the lack of funds to get one. 1 year later, my wife went to the same clinic, $65 cash per visit. I don't blame the county. Cutting taxes for the rich and jobs for the middle class has left a revenue shortfall. I've not had a physical for a long time. At my age, that will probably prove to be fatal. The health care, not the physical, what I think what he means is what they might find. The health care system I live in can be fairly called murder. I have been given the death sentence. I'm a law-abiding, formerly middle-class citizen. I try to use herbs, vitamins, meditation, and moderate exercise to maintain my health. I was a successful electronics technician for many years. At the age of 40, I went back to school for an associate's degree in computer technology. I made a good living for several years after I graduated with honors. Now, all my jobs are outsourced to India or somewhere even less expensive. I wish this letter was more organized. I really want to point out that some of us, nearly homeless people, used to be respected citizens living the good life. Thanks for listening, Jim. And yet Kathy is getting an abundance of emails. See, these little right-wing or these blue dog Democrats or these liberals who are basically roll over and scratch their belly types won't write to me. But Kathy's getting a bunch of emails. Well, Mike was just so impolite to him, to that caller. Now, you can't be like that. You got to win him over to our side. Look, you jerks, this is not a marbles contest. I'm not interested in winning over. I'm not a preacher looking to save souls. I frankly don't give a damn. If people want to be this ignorant, to continuously and endlessly operate in this political system against their own best interests by continuing to either vote Republican, A, or B, try to be nice to these idiots, so be it. Do that. I'm not here to kiss somebody. I'm here to whomp somebody's ass. And any right-winger that calls in here with this kind of idiocy, well, my mother doesn't qualify for Medicare. Why not? Well, I don't know. I don't want any free health care. Anybody that calls in here with that kind of attitude, I'm going to try to put my size 11s as far, metaphorically speaking, up their rear ends as I possibly can. You people who want some politeness, go away. There are plenty of programs out there who will be very polite. This is not one of them. But you guys really crack me up. You write to Kathy like you're going to mom. Kathy, Mike's being impolite again. Kathy!
Actually, the interesting emails are the ones that say, well, we all know Mike can't take criticism.
Yeah, Mike's always right, or it's, Jesus,
I didn't hear the caller criticizing you. I heard the caller making completely false statements about how, Al Gore wants to, and Hillary Clinton want to take away
Hillary Care, 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 Hillary Care,
insurance if you wanted to anymore. Go ahead. Spend your money. Do it. Send your kid to private school.
Live to the
age of bodyguard and don't use the police.
Live to the age of 57 because you don't get preventive medicine. Oh, God. I don't know. To hell with it. I find the whole thing amusing in a very macabre sort of way. That's all. But if you're looking for politeness, dear listener, this is not the program. Okay? I'm not here to be polite. The Senate.
What are you teaching Molly?
Oh, I know. I'm teaching Molly to be the same way. I'm teaching Molly. How old is she? She's turned 3. How soon before I can teach her to fire a rifle? How much longer? We got to get to that as quickly as possible. Now the real liberals out there going to say, oh, Mike, now don't.
Well, she's learned how to pull herself up out of the pool, and now she, you know, she can dial 911. We showed her where that button is, so, you know, just baby steps.
We're going to have to teach her
she
how
she can
to,
run really fast.
How to pull the pin on a grenade and then throw it real quick. The Senate has passed the Bush spy bill, not the House. I think the House adjourned. According to the Associated Press, at about 8 o'clock tonight Pacific time, which would be 11 o'clock here on the on this coast, so this just happened, I guess. In a high-stakes showdown over national security, the Senate voted late Friday to temporarily give President Bush expanded authority to eavesdrop on foreign terrorists without court warrants. Eavesdrop on foreign terrorists. If the Bush administration knows they're terrorists, why do we want to eavesdrop on them? Why not just go kill them? The House, meanwhile, rejected a Democratic version of the bill. Democratic leaders there in the House were working on a plan to bring up the Senate-passed measure and vote on it Saturday in response to Bush's demand that Congress, by God, give him the expanded surveillance authority before leaving for vacation this weekend. The White House applauded the Senate vote and urged the House to quickly follow suit. Senate Democrats reluctantly voted for a plan largely crafted by the White House after Bush promised to veto a Democratic alternative that would have required a court review within 15 days. See, that's what the Democrats say. Okay, okay, we'll give it to you, Mr. God. We'll give you the authority to do it. But can we have a court review 15 days after you wiretap people? No? Okay, I'm sorry.
The Senate bill gives Bush the expanded eavesdropping authority for only 6 months. Oh, well then. The Democratic version rejected by both the Senate and House would have allowed that authority for only 4 months. So, the Senate vote was 60-28. Both parties had agreed to require 60 votes for passage.
Well, let's see now. How many members of the Senate are Democrats? No, don't count Lieberman. Well, that must mean... Oh, never mind. Oh, my God. It's just, when's it time to give up on the Democrats? I keep saying that, don't I? I'm tired of hearing myself say it, too. Did you hear Laura Bush Pickles went to the sign of the disaster in Minneapolis? And said that there's so many good stories here. It lifts people and it really encourages people. Mrs. Bush, there's death and destruction and misery there. Oh, there's many good stories. What about the people who help children get off a school bus? That's a good story. And the divers who went into the swirling, murky Mississippi River. That's a good story. Oh, my God.
What is it with bodies floating in water that this woman finds so fascinating and spiritually uplifting? I mean, first the Katrina victims and now these victims.
Oh, I know.
What is it about? Is it something aquatic? I mean, is it because she killed somebody in her youth? I mean, what is her fascination with, oh, look at them floating over there. Sort of like Prozac.
It's just unbelievable. I we'll be back after the break.
Thank you.
We tend to forget. I mean, ours is a society where things are like instant, so therefore history almost is like so far back it doesn't count.
God. Oh. And this idiot orders the Democratic Party to stay in congressional session until they deliver what he wants. This idiot, this halfwit. And what do the Democrats do? Instead of standing there, every Democrat in the House and the Senate and giving him the finger and saying, see you the 1st of September, jackwad, instead of doing that, they go, okay, all right, we'll get right on it, Mr. Boss. Jesus, God. Regarding giving Molly a grenade, a lot of you wrote in and don't think that's a good idea, but Prairie 2 says the grenade is too hard for a three-year-old to throw. Start with a satchel charge. You can make a practice one with a brick and an old purse. When she gets so she can throw it through the tire swing from across the yard, she'll be ready for the barricades. All right. Okay. You're right. She has a couple of purses, doesn't she, McCathy? Huh? Doesn't she have a couple of little, some of your old purses? Let's start that. We'll start tomorrow. Put a little.
I gave her a couple of old pocketbooks and credit cards to play with. So, I should have been pocketbooks and
we'll put
and,
some bricks
and
in.
Concrete.
Yeah, we'll put a couple little chunks of. Let's take some bricks out of the garden back here and break them in half. And oh, I'm sorry, those are your tomatoes. Never mind, my bad. Scott in Champaign, Illinois writes regarding health care. Subject line says, my right-wing father's real fear about health care. Mike, from my family, I have heard the typical anti-socialized medicine arguments for 40 years, long before Bush or even Reagan. A long time ago, I came to the conclusion that what they really fear is having to sit in the waiting room with all those, quote, poor people, end quote, on an equal basis. It is really about class and entitlement. If everyone gets health care, then my health care will be the same as everyone else's health care. That's the mindset that we are really arguing against, even if they wouldn't admit it. Right, Scott, I get your point. But the fact is that single-payer health care does not mean that people, if they choose to, can bypass that. I'm sure here in America, in the land of the free and home enterprise, there will be a two- or three-tiered level of health care, just like there's a two- or three-tiered level of legal assistance. You know, poor people, rich people don't get executed in this country, no matter how many people they murder. It's only poor people that get executed. Jesus. And that's because of what the rich people can afford in terms of a defense. So there will, even with single-payer health care, what we're looking at here is just to make sure that everyone has essential health care. Preventive medicine, you know, stuff to keep you well. Doctor visits when you need them, aside from the preventive and the checkups. The screening, health screening for cancers and diseases. And then when we get to that point where we need surgeries, that we get that. Essential, basic health care. Now, for people who want something beyond that, there's always the Cleveland Clinic. There's always Johns Hopkins. There's always the Mayo Clinic. There's always that upper level. Don't send me emails now and tell me that, you know what I'm saying. I'm speaking in metaphors. You can always get the prime cut of meat. You don't have to settle for just the good cut when you go to a restaurant. You know what I'm saying. Same applies in healthcare. Same applies in legal care. Same applies in security. It doesn't. This is America. By God, if you can't buy it, it doesn't exist. And that applies to healthcare. Single-payer healthcare means that those essentials that you find in every single industrialized country on earth would exist here and be available. Now, beyond that, if you don't want to become a little communist and go get your free medical care, then don't. Man. Uh, I wanted to bring this up tonight, but we're rapidly running out of time, and I want to get to your phone calls. The Associated Press is reporting that a Democratic senator is trying to block the Pentagon from selling spare parts from its recently retired F-14, those are the Tomcats, I believe, F-14 fighters that are coveted by Iran. Senator Ron Wyden's bill came in response to an investigation by the AP that found weaknesses in surplus sales security that allowed buyers for countries, including Iran, to obtain sensitive U.S. military equipment, including Tomcat parts. The Oregon Democrats' legislation would ban the Defense Department from selling surplus F-14 parts and exporting them. We need an act of Congress to stop the Pentagon from... We'll be back after the break.
Bang, bang, bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk, and I love the way you talk.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
You notch me out, out off of my feet. Boom, 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 boom.
It's about 25 before the hour. Bang, bang, bang. This is from Joe regarding this nice crap. Joe writes, Mike Dukakis was polite about Willie Horton. John Kerry was polite when he was being swift-voted. Liberals are endlessly polite to Republican scum, and where does it get us? Personally, I get all the liberal politeness I need from Tom Hartman. When I tune into your show, I know exactly what I'm getting, and it's not more nice. Screw nice. Nice goes to bed at 5. I want someone to flip the nitwit right the bird. You're the man, Mike, and thank you for it. Yeah, I like that. Nice goes to bed at 5 o'clock. Yeah, really. This is from Stacy in Indiana. Mike, last weekend I decided to go to a town hall meeting conducted by my representative, Mike Pence, Republican, Indiana 6th District. About 40 people attended, and after an hour I had to get up and leave. I never ended up saying anything, out loud anyway. I got in my car so upset I cried all the way home and most of the next 2 hours. How can it be that the representative I disagree with most can sound like the most reasonable person in the room? I'm totally with you in your expressions of frustrations tonight and all nights. I'm sick with being nice. I just cannot believe my fellow citizens can be so freaking stupid. I was totally sick to my stomach that these people really don't give a damn about my generation or that of my kids. I'm 38 with young teenage boys. These people claim to be pro-life, but are really pro-death, pro-suffering, and I'm sick of their me attitude. And I've come to the conclusion that there is no way to deal with these people who seem perfectly satisfied to support policies and politicians who are ruining our futures. I can think maybe this country is just too big. And it's time to let these idiots have their Jesus land, and the rest of us can get on with moving forward like the rest of the developed world. I'm just so sick of the selfishness, greediness, and self-imposed stupidity. I want away from these people. Stacy, yeah, I absolutely understand that, a lot of people write in with that same... That same sense of frustration. I don't know. It's unbelievable how idiotic we've become in this country, so many of us, how willing we are to vote against our best interests or not vote at all. The people in Indiana see no problem with a BP factory there dumping mercury into Lake Michigan, and the governor of Indiana, who is the former Bush budget director, Mitch Daniels, he just tells everybody to go screw themselves. Mayor Richie Daley of Chicago is all upset about it. The next time you see one of those BP commercials, Beyond Petroleum, the nice little yellow flower that pops up on your TV screen, immediately give your TV screen the middle finger. The Chicago Tribune reported the other day the federal government ordered states more than a decade ago to end or dramatically limit mercury discharges into the Great Lakes, but the BP refinery in northwest Indiana will be allowed to continue pouring amounts of the toxic metal into Lake Michigan for at least another 5 freaking years! A little-noticed exemption in BP's controversial new state water permit gives the oil company until 2012 to meet strict federal limits on mercury discharge. In documents, Indiana regulators predict the refinery won't be able to comply and will ask to continue polluting after that date. The BP refinery and the power plant in nearby Chesterton, Indiana, are the only two industrial polluters that still dump mercury directly into Lake Michigan. Oh, my God! Representative Rahm Emanuel, Democrat of Illinois, said, with one permit, this company and this state, Indiana, are undoing years of work to keep this kind of pollution out of our Great Lakes. Company officials and Indiana regulators contend the refinery's wastewater, mercury-laced, poses no threat to people or aquatic life. Just go away. A Chicago Tribune review of federal records shows that the wastewater the BP refinery pumps into Lake Michigan includes more than a dozen toxic byproducts of oil refining, including benzene, toluene, and suspended solids containing mercury, lead, nickel, vanadium. The BP refinery is the top industrial source of lead, nickel, and ammonia pollution directly released into the lake, according to the EPA's toxics release inventory. It is also one of only two industrial polluters on Lake Michigan that dump acetone. Tonitril, a chemical that metabolizes in the environment to cyanide. If BP were to meet the federal mercury standards for the Great Lakes, it would take the refinery 25 years to put the same amount of the toxic metal into Lake Michigan that it does now in 1 year. When Indiana regulators last month allowed a company to increase its mercury pollution, the Indiana regulators, justified all this by noting that the project will create 80 new jobs. Oh, my God! See? This is how it works. This is what Republicans do. This is what the Republican governor of Indiana does. And the people of Indiana sit back on their asses and say, yeah, that's okay. Go ahead, Governor Daniels. That's fine. And isn't he the bastard that has privatized the Indiana, the interstates through Indiana? This is what Republicans do. The whole country has been told, stop with the mercury. It makes people insane. It kills fetuses. It destroys life. Well, we've created 80 new jobs. And besides, I'm a Republican. That's what a Republican does. And you people in Indiana are going to send this rat bastard back to another term as governor, aren't you? Of course you are. Stacy, my heart bleeds for you. It really, really does. When I saw this story, I just... I couldn't help but think of all the BP commercials that I have been watching for the past, when did they start this Beyond Petroleum little yellow flower crap? These little corporate ads. When, 8 years, 10 years? How long has it been? And I read things about how BP really was trying to get some of the more toxic pollutants out of its gasoline. And I bought into that, like, oh, yeah, look, they're trying, like an idiot. You know, I buy into that. You know, I'm just as susceptible as you are. I watch these corporate promotional commercial. You don't know if it's a promotion for the corporation or a commercial for their product, but they have the swelling violins in the background, and usually some, you know, some guy who's been gone for a long time, and he comes home, and his aged mom and dad looks up, and the violins swell, and they embrace, and the sun rises, and his daughter comes running out, and a flower sprouts, and then all of a sudden you see this little thing on the side, it's BP. You evil sons of bitches. You evil, vile sons of bitches. It's just a stuff. And that, while you're doing that to me, over here in the corner of Indiana, you're dumping mercury into Lake Michigan. You filthy bastards. What are you going to do when the drinking water's gone and we have to turn to the Great Lakes? And what will you thugs do? Oh, that's right. You'll go someplace where you can get water that hasn't been mercury polluted. When the barricades go up, it's not just Republicans who are going to be on the other side. It's going to be these corporate monsters. These people who tell us on the one hand that they're so concerned about little Mikey and little Kathy and little Stacy and little everybody. Oh, we just love you, you know. Look at our yellow flower. Look at it. Keep looking at it. While over in a corner of Indiana, these filthy bastards are dumping into Lake Michigan mercury. And the governor of Indiana says, so what? My God.
Oh, but Mike, you ought to be more polite now. You know, when a Republican calls in, for heaven's sake, you know, you just think you're right all the time. You just can't take criticism. Oh, you piss me off. I'm going to go listen to somebody else.
Ten before the hour, thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program at our flagship station in Phoenix, KPHX, also handled your phone calls. That makes him the associate producer. Thanks to Billy Foster, Nova M Radio's CIO and chat room moderator. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall and the militant moderators at MikeMalloy.com and the message board. And our executive producer, Catherine Bay. All right, sorry for the long rants. Let's go to the calls real quickly here. Edie is calling from Montgomery, Alabama, listening on the Internet. Hey, Edie.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing tonight? You feeling much better?
Not a whole lot, but I'll be better as soon as the show's over and I can hit the Jack Black. I'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, when I first called, I was calling about that Senate vote I just watched. You know, the you bend over and grab your ankles.
Yeah.
Spying on America Act.
You're right.
But the email from that guy, Jim, about the lion saving his sight.
Oh, yeah. God.
That happened to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had two cataract operations when I was in my 30s. And if it wasn't for the lions, I'd be blind.
Well, that's the one thing. That's the one thing that the Lions Club does extremely well is to take care of vision-related problems for folks who just can't afford.
No, and my kids were young then, and it was just, I went without for so long. It was, I was damn, one eye waited almost too long. You can get to a point of no return.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes.
So
you
I
can.
Was really, you know, when you were reading his email, I'm going, damn, this strikes a chord with me all over the place.
Sounds, yeah, sounds
yeah, yeah. And I finally saw Sicko, and, oh, wow. I don't know whether, whether I'll be shaking from more from anger or from shame.
Well, I'll tell you another movie to go to look at this weekend, Edie. It's online, Zeitgeist.
Seen it.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was a real stunner. There's some stuff in the movie that I find a little hard to digest, but so what? It's only some of the stuff in the third section. The first two sections are, you know, like I said earlier tonight, stuff that most of us who are still breathing and can think straight are already aware of, but it's a powerful film.
It is. I've got it on DVD now. I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah, I hope people take a look at it. All right, Edie, let me go. I got to try to work a few more folks in. Have a good weekend and take
care.
You too,
thanks.
All right, bye-bye. David is calling from San Francisco, listening on The Quake. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. You know, I wanted to mention something about the nuclear industry. They're trying to pull a fast one in some legislation right now. But before I did, I noticed that you had one of these people despairing about what to do in this world because of the ferocity of the BS that's being piled on us. You just got to set a pace for yourself and set some vacation time for yourself. Do it as a tag team. Just think about it like the old wrestlers or whatever. Just set a tag team. Make sure you got some compadres that you can work with. And when you get so exhausted, you make sure you get some downtime and revive yourself.
Oh, absolutely. I think everybody has to do that. I hear you. David, I got to move on because some of these folks want to talk about some of the stuff we talked about earlier tonight. Steve is calling from Folsom, California, listening on KSAC. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I guess there's not much time here, so I'll be real quick. But, yeah, the time for being polite is over. I don't think the revolutionaries who founded this country were polite to the royalists, and I don't think the Alabama marchers and the 1964 freedom people were polite either. But I wanted to call you about what the corporations want to do on healthcare. Mm-hmm. They don't want to give you a gold watch. They don't want to give you... They want you to have Medicare. They want to give you a coffin as soon as you're no longer useful to the corporatocracy. What we have is a corporatocracy. And when you were discussing with John Lesh from Illinois about what are they trying to do, when I first heard this theory, I didn't believe it. But over the years, I believe it now. They're trying to lower the standard of living in the United States, raise up the standard of living of client states like Malaysia, the Philippines, India, and so forth, to create global markets for corporations, a corporatocracy with a smaller, wealthier population. They want people to die. They want a smaller, wealthier world population to buy corporate goods and a global corporatocracy. I know it sounds crazy.
No, it doesn't sound crazy at all. I'll tell you what, if you haven't, Steve, if you haven't seen this online movie, Zeitgeist, you need to see it. You need to go see it over the... you just download it. It takes seconds to download it and watch it. You need to watch this because part of it is exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, Mike, I'll do that. Z-E-I-T...
Z-E-I-T-G-E-I-S-T, zeitgeistmovie.com.
I'll check it out.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you checking in. Tony is calling from Phoenix, listening on KPHX. Hey, Tony.
Hi. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing right.
I didn't want to call and snivel tonight, but please don't change what you do.
No, never.
Don't compromise with these guys.
Not until they pry the microphone from my cold, dead fingers. Oh, no, wait. Somebody else says it.
Until it happens to them, they don't care. I've lost everything I own. I have a brain aneurysm. And the doctor said, if you go back to work, you're going to die. I had a construction little company, and I've lost everything. I paid $540 a month in insurance premiums, and till I couldn't afford it, I sold everything I owned. And now I'm sick. I have nothing.
Jesus,
and I
Tony.
I live with my parents, and I'm 50 years old, and I've got nothing. And in order to have Arizona State Insurance, you can own nothing. You can have nothing. You're allowed to have nothing. And this is where we're at. And these people that get up here and say, oh, we don't want to pay more taxes. well, what are you doing now? I get $150 a month in food stamps.
Oh,
and that's
Jesus.
All my government will give me. And I worked, I paid taxes, I paid workers' comp insurance, and I get nothing. I filed for my Social Security disability. It's taken 2 years. My doctors, I have a neurosurgeon. I mean, he's a neurosurgeon. He has no dog in his fight. He says, if you work, you're going to die.
All right, Tony, listen, I'm out of time, and what you're saying is just so important for people to hear. I'm going to ask you to call. I'll be here Monday and Tuesday, and then we'll be off for a couple of days. But I want to hear from you again, but I've got to leave it now, okay?
Again, God bless you, okay?
All right, Tony, call back in because I want people to hear what you got to say. Thanks, pal. I appreciate your call. Jesus. Ah.
We know people who have fundraisers to have liver operations.
I know. It's just, and yet you'll hear Republicans and people call this program and say, well, no, I don't want that. Have a good weekend, Truth Seekers. I'll see you Monday night, all right? Oh, and have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. I'm Mike Malloy. Keep it lit.